again, the reason for prayer, it's interesting that in the morning Bible study, we're talking about putting on the armor of God. And we can't get beyond, I went in reverse because the morning Bible study is like, that people are backwards from everybody else. But yeah, you have to, Levites, you have to do different lacings. The last thing in the armor of God, and they're listing in Ephesians, is that, and it says, and take unto you the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that you may be able to and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying, and it's a part of the same sentence, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. And so the idea of taking on the sword of the Spirit with and praying are simultaneous. And we talked about this morning how that the reason that, I mean, like, none of you would even consider joining the Seventh-day Adventists or the, because you could, even with the limited knowledge that you have, you know that some of these different, or you wouldn't consider sending money to a televangelist or sending money or making a vow of faith or something, because in comparison, we are not in this body biblically illiterate. But most of the population is. And so because they're biblically illiterate, there's a certain segment of the population that, for whatever reason, is subject to this kind of cultic action and control. That's why it's so important here that you test everything, that you're fully persuaded in your own mind, that there's nothing that you accept just because I say it or somebody says it. And everything is open and everything is tested. Now, the way that you're not, and again, it's primarily because you, in spite of what I might think of you, you're not biblically illiterate. You know a whole lot of scripture. You know a whole lot of the what it means. But there can be some improvement here on this front. It's relative. Compared,
be diplomatic.
No. Oh, no, because by definition, I mean, you know more, you know a whole lot more scripture than you think you do. But the one of the things, that the reason you take up the sword of the Spirit isn't to go out and fight, you know, crime in the streets or anything else. The reason you take up the sword of the Spirit is to fight the evil one. And so the primary way of ridding yourself of mind talk, I mean, is are the two weapons. One is the sword of the Spirit and the other is prayer. And those two weapons rid you of mind talk. And so before we talk about prayer, I want to kind of remind you what mind talk is. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Prayer is how you wield the Spirit, gotcha, or the sword.
Yeah.
So they're one and the same, but it's one is
subject and verb.
Right. Now, when any stimulant hits you, an important tool comes into play in your life, as we've just seen, 2 days of your self-talk. Now, self-talk is a euphemism. We call it, say it, mind talk, but all self-talk, all mind talk is a euphemism for the belief system that influences you. It's a euphemism for bouncing back and forth on the graven images in your mind. You understand that?
No.
You have a whole lot of ideas of the way things should be.
Yes.
When something comes against that, as long as everything is going the way you think it should, there's almost no mind talk.
Yeah.
But the moment a stimulus happens in which things don't go the way you think they should, then Mind talk starts. That's the stimulus for mind talk. Okay? You got that? Everybody agree? Everybody understand that? And you understand that this, we say mind talk, what it is, it's the silent communication up here, but what it is, it's an act of worship to the graven images. You understand that? Okay? You got it? You got that real good?
So you're talking to yourself and rather than to each other.
To God. But you're talking, you know, Harry was talking this morning, he was saying, this voice was saying this and that, and then yesterday he was talking about them. He said, how many voices are in there?
Like ping pong yourself.
But, self-talk can involve external speech, you know, talking to yourself. Can even, for some of the sickos, it can involve answering yourself.
Be your own conversation.
Most people talk out loud. We've studied this before. You talk out loud at the rate somewhere between 130 and 180 words a minute, something in that range. But research has shown that your thoughts are at the rate of 1,300 words a minute. And not only that, your voice box, your larynx, moves in the same way for your mind talk as it does for your speech. It's just silent talk. You understand that? Do you agree?
You mean even though you're thinking?
You can't think the word. It's impossible for you to think it without forming it in the voice box.
Yes. Did you go around looking at people's throats?
Well, you can't necessarily visually see it. But it's testable with senses. I mean, with sensors.
Probably barely moving.
Yeah.
You can catch yourself too.
Is reverse speech at the same speed as speech?
Mm-hmm. Reverse speech is much slower, but that's another subject. Now, your self-talk is powerful. You got any doubt about that?
Oh, shit.
And it works according to some basic principles. And that's what we're going to talk about in a minute. First of all, your self-talk is what creates your emotions. Now, it may not come out for, you know, an hour or two or a day or so, but it's your self-talk is what will determine how you feel. Can everybody accept that? Or do you agree with it? Okay. Now, the scriptures say, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, obviously, if you're going to think in your heart, you're talking about mind talk.
That's a good way to say it.
As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, if we're a Pharisee, then what we try to do is we try to control how we feel by only thinking certain ways. And we put governors on ourselves to try, and we refuse to think in certain areas. And that's why what I call the closet. You put these things that you refuse to think about, you stick in your closet, except you really are thinking about them. You understand? Now, that's why prophecy is, it's not just a scriptural necessity, it's a health necessity. To say what is there is the thing that determines both how you feel emotionally and how you, for the most part, how you feel physically. It controls not just your emotions, but it controls the health of your system.
So a lot of times if you say it whenever it comes on you, in that moment, you don't have all the emotional baggage stuff on it.
Right.
And if you wait, and then you all of a sudden you say the stuff.
Plus, if you say it, it's the test that you know you've been bought with a price, and that you're even your very, whatever's there isn't your own. You're just giving it out. You're prophesying. You believe, therefore you speak. no matter what it appears. Now, your thoughts, without question, affect your emotions. They affect your behavior. And your perceptions affect your thoughts. But it's, you got to understand, you mean, does anybody have any doubt that you mostly think irrationally?
I have no doubt about that. Yes.
We say things we don't mean. Mm-hmm. We think things we don't mean. We worry about things that aren't even there.
We don't care about.
But what does don't mean mean, too?
Harold, what does it mean?
Well,
what does it mean?
If I, in an act of anger, say I hate you, I don't mean that.
Part of you does.
No, it doesn't.
Well, the mind does.
No, it doesn't. That's sin that dwelleth in you. But it's not. It has. It's not the.
Just like Sherry gets mad at you, she says things she doesn't mean.
Oh boy, does she ever say things?
No, not Sherry. Doesn't mean that implies control though.
Right. No, you. If you think that everything that someone says is what they mean, then you imply control.
Okay. I understand what you're saying, but if you say, I don't mean what I said.
Take two. When
you're rising above what you said. You're saying prophecy.
Well, yeah, well, that's why. Why not, instead of saying, I don't mean what I say, say, forgive me.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. Okay, we say things we don't mean. We think things we don't mean. We worry about things that aren't there. We worry about things that aren't there, and we do things that make absolutely no sense to us.
This is true.
Right?
Yes.
Now, this is a hard one to do. The hard one is to accept and to admit that your memories are a lie. Even the memories from 2 minutes ago.
Actually, those are easier to accept as a lie than the ones that.
Do you understand that? Can you hear that?
If my perceptions aren't right.
All right.
How can my memories and my perceptions be right?
Your memories are passed through this template. And the memories from a minute ago are passed through this same template. And it's real creative. And the template defines, it's this template is made up of all of the graven images and emotional and molten images that make you up. And that it's created just like a template for an artist. It's created a template in which the past and the present pass through. We can accept, for the most part, that our perceptions are can be wrong, because we've seen these, you know, these crazy little house of mirrors and the distorted things and all kinds of distortions where you can easily prove to someone that your perceptions are wrong. But it's real, real difficult to admit that your memories are wrong. Now, most of your memories are based on the interpretation you made of stimuli when you were young. And they are real creative. Now, there are some of you that are super creative in terms of this regard.
Does this kind of go on with, like you say, in the same, like when we were talking about the same, different children in the same situation have different responses to the stimuli?
Right, because one of the greatest templates that's passed through is your high place of memory.
That's still one of the most amazing things I've ever heard. That the same set of facts laid out, two people will not see them the same, hear them the same, or come to the same conclusion. That's an amazing. I thought there was one reality. It is not.
Now, it's easy for us to say that we should believe the truth instead of the lies. But unfortunately, it takes years and years and years of the cross, of the preaching of the cross, to see that. And that, in order for you to be freed to see and so that you're freed from the mind talk and you're freed from this weight of emotional baggage that you're dragging and the weight of intellectual baggage that you're dragging, in order to be freed of it, you have to see that those are lies. You can't justify any of it. Now, sometimes you're forced into it because of court action or something. But especially in the body, that's why it's so vital. I can't get over the deal of when I confronted Burnett at Passover about an issue. He spent a good 20, 30 minutes justifying the issue. I mean, if he could have seen what I see, I mean, he'd have stopped that quick. Because the justifying of it created the certainty that there was something wrong with his perceptions. Now, can you hear me? Jesus said, "You are they that justify yourself among men, but God knows your hearts." God knows what's going on. For those things that are highly esteemed among men are an abomination unto God. I promise you, every fight that Sherry and Mike have gotten into is based on self-justification.
I think that's the way it is with all fights. I mean, if there's an offense, but I mean, well, if it continues...
I know, I was just picking a minute.
I was thinking, well, gosh.
Why? We're special.
We fit that thing.
Now you have to challenge your perceptions, the perceptions you had as a child. And that's what we do that here over time. I mean, right?
You know, my brother who decided that he was too good to talk with us anymore has this idea that he was very sacrificial and extremely mistreated as we were growing up. The thing that he never did was ask any of us. I mean, he never got a witness. He stayed in his own mind.
Well, no. It's partly that, but can you understand that with one witness that do you understand we've spent most of our life operating on the basis of one witness?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that we do that because operating on the basis of that one witness gives us the illusion of control.
Isn't that the definition of egocentrism?
Yeah.
So, I mean, and it doesn't matter whether you're... There's no degrees of it. In other words, there's no good one witness and bad one witness. I mean, you can operate on one witness thinking you're the king of the universe, or you can operate on one witness thinking that you're a victim and you're bad and everything about you is bad. So, the secret of all, that's why he says... My brethren, I beseech you, present your bodies, present yourself a living sacrifice, and be ye transfigured by the renewing of your mind. And you renew the mind so that the mind can look and see as one, not as in Harry's case, about 36.
So will it make it harder, like with me growing up and our family and, you know, my dad being abusive and then everybody witnessing that it did take place in the family. So would it make it harder for you to...
Yeah, it makes it harder for you to accept. It makes it harder for you to forgive.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
Because you've got it. It's reinforced so many times.
Exactly. My sister... Easily justified.
Yeah, my sister is convinced... And if anybody laughs, I'm going to smack you. My sister is convinced that every problem that she has in life is my fault.
Enough said.
How could that be? That's not funny.
She's a problem.
Here it goes soon.
Let's talk about, for a minute, the mind of Christ and see what we can see from that. Jesus said, or Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, though being in the form of God, thought it not something to be grasped, to be equal with God, but continually emptied himself and made himself of no reputation." Now that's the secret of the cross, and the secret of life is the continual emptying of what is here. Now, here's a man. He's emptying what is there, but what does he believe is there?
The Father.
Hang on, but besides that, let's analyze what Jesus, some of his, this great teacher. Jesus thought he was perfect. He thought he knew everything. He said he knew heaven from the inside. He centered the religious experience of the universe in himself. He said that his death would offer salvation to the entire world. And he said if you killed him, he would rise from the dead in 3 days. Now, if somebody came in here and told us that, what would we do with them?
That's what I thought it was junk.
No, we would ignore him as an idiot. Mm-hmm. Now,
what was the point of what you just said?
The point was, you think you have something to empty of? He emptied himself of all that.
Please.
Oh, by the way, I'm going to come back.
You mean he had the guts to go ahead and say it? Is that what you mean?
No. It's not only that he went ahead and said it. He literally emptied himself and made himself the servant of all.
With his true belief.
He was all, and yet he still was able to
let go.
But he had to get to a point, too, where he had to see that his memories were a lie.
But wait a minute. But that wasn't an act of will because he knew that. I mean, he believed that. He knew that was true, right? So it wasn't like...
But you know when you go on your trips, you know it's true, too.
No, what's true?
Whatever your trip is about.
You know...
These son of a bitches around here, they don't respect me. I work my butt off all day and I don't get no respect.
What does that have to do?
Because it's the same. He emptied himself from something so far above that.
He really was somebody, not
me. Come off the bench. It's going
to be hard.
Come off the bench, man.
I didn't mean it.
Sit on the bench and take that shot.
Whoever wills it, none of a net.
Left hook
to the head.
the reason for bringing that up is that the mind of Christ is emptying for each of us. Now some of us don't have very far to go, but he emptied himself from the ultimate. Now can we say, well, it's easier for him to do it then? No, it wasn't. I mean, to know that you have all power in heaven and earth delivered over to you, and yet put up with a bunch of idiots.
See, that's what I'm saying. Doesn't that make it easier if you know it, if you believe it, rather than think it or hope it?
Yeah, but you think it when my point to you, when you think it or hope it, it's the same as it's exactly the same thing. I mean, you respond.
Wouldn't it be like Ted Turner or some major CEO or Randolph Hearst or whomever, as powerful as they are, as much money and things as they have, you know, washing toilets or...
Or worse, far worse.
Yeah, I mean, with that kind of...
And giving away everything.
or they couldn't get it back.
Yeah. They didn't put it in a blind trust.
Yeah, they gave it away for real.
You know, so it's that kind of thing that...
And when he went to the depths of hell, he had to empty himself there too.
Right.
He couldn't
take go ahead.
If I knew that there was endless supply available, I wouldn't hesitate to give it. If I believe that.
But my
the
point...
The reason I hesitate to give is I don't believe that.
Okay, that's exactly true. But the point is, you are empowered, Brett, at this moment with the same belief system that he had.
So he wasn't in a different position?
No.
He hoped it was true?
No. He knew it was true. In the same way that on occasion, you know it's true. That's on occasion, he knew it was true.
Okay.
He didn't walk in a constant state of godhood. Father, my soul is troubled. That proves the point.
So by continually doing it, he found out that it was true.
Right. The only way that he found out it was true was the continual emptying, no matter what it looked like.
So that's what you mean about feeding the 5,000.
That's right.
I mean, he got in front of all those people and could have, like, not happened.
Right.
And that's what made
or Lazarus, it could have not happened.
Right. But it was the emptying. It was the continual emptying, the continual speaking, and the continual letting go of everything that caused him to know it.
So it is confirmed a nanosecond after you say it, rather than a nanosecond before you say it.
That's right. You can never, you will never believe as long as you want the evidence of the belief before the emptying.
That must have made it, you know, as he became more and more aware of his, you know, his position, that must have made it more difficult for him to empty himself.
Oh, it's like, incredible.
The more power you realize, the more he knew.
Well, let's stop. Stop at any point. If you believe in the Hindu philosophy, which is just a type of Christ, there are the seven chakras of power. And he, when he was at the fifth chakra, he was tested by, he could have, with a snap of his finger, gotten rid of all hunger forever, gotten rid of all suffering forever, gotten rid of all, any pain, gotten rid of anything, gotten rid of any, I mean, he could have created what, to the best of his mind, would have been a perfect world. Now that's, and the temptation for that, to empty himself of that, is awesome.
But
we're at whatever, I mean, whatever thing that you think needs to change, the response to it is to empty yourself. Do you understand? Now that can only be done by the sword of the, because it has to, you have to combat directly the mind talk.
And none of that was possible before Christ came.
Right. You have to combat totally and completely your normal response to any stimuli.
Yeah.
You have to go to instant battle with it. You could do this or this. I don't think it's far fetched. I think I probably could get elected to a public office, or I could have been an evangelist. Those aren't real. I mean, like, it's a huge stretch to say I'm giving up being quarterback for the Cowboys. But I don't think it's a huge stretch to think in terms of political action, or to become an evangelist, or these kinds of things which are within my capacity. The testing is wherever you are, whatever it is, whatever, you can only be tested by something that you know you possess. And the temptation comes from an external power causing you to want to exercise yourself in that. Now, if you didn't have any capacity to make $1 million, then to be tested with $1 million would be ludicrous. But to have the capacity to do it and then to empty yourself of that is the mystery of life that very few ever hear or see. If I mean, hear me. I mean, this you've heard the story, I think. But I was offered several million dollars if I would have agreed to run for president in 1987. It sounds ludicrous. But if you remember the 1988 elections, there was they called it Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. I mean, there was a bunch of idiots that were running for office. And I'm a reasonably good speaker, and I knew politics. I'm not saying it was right, wrong, or different. I'm saying I had a reason to think that it was a plausible thing to do. Do you understand? That's all I'm saying. And it was tempting, and I emptied myself of it. When I was in with a hidden camera, the thing in Del Urias' story, with a hidden camera turned on me, the guy was offering me a book a month, a mailing access to a mailing list of 10 million people, hundreds of millions of dollars. The damn camera was on. I mean, I could have caused the camera to be off and signed up with it. And I could have rationalized it by saying how much good I could have done, what kind of a forum for the doctrine that would have been. You understand?
Yeah.
Just a year ago, I was offered $100,000 a month to just let Brother Bob be Brother Bob. Just let him, we get $100,000 a month for the ministry.
And pay our Kinko's bill.
That's what I'm talking about. And those are dramatic things, just so you can see. Whatever it is, at whatever juncture, wherever you are, it's the testing will always come from this alien force, and it will test a power that you have. Now, religion will tell you to use it then in the name of God, for the glory of God. The society, the problems that exist, the things around you will tell you this is a good thing to do. But it's only the mind of Christ which sees that the mystery of truly possessing all things is the continual emptying yourself of all things. Am I communicating at all?
What do you mean by emptying? Like, let's take the presidential thing, by just not doing it, resigning to yourself, that's not what you should do.
I did as I laughed in his face, but there was a moment of temptation before I did.
Not take the hook.
Just not take it. Without any regret later, saying, I should have done it.
But be careful, because then you're... I don't, what I'm hearing is maybe there's a right and a wrong decision, and there really isn't.
No, I'm just wondering how he emptied. I mean, what does he mean by emptying?
Well,
it's different for different people. Right?
Yeah.
The emptying is what you possess. I mean, you can't empty of something you don't have. You're never judged by your stewardship of what you have. The world and your mind and Christianity teaches you that stewardship is being careful and marshaling. The scriptures teach us that stewardship is emptying.
So the possession could be something like, fuck you, asshole.
That's right.
Crystal likes that possession.
Now, let me say this. This point, and again, when I say point, it's a moment,
yeah.
And it's just like a mathematical moment. If you understand that, that point is, I mean, you don't live at that point, because if you lived at that point, you would die. I mean, you'd physically die. Because there would be more put on you than you could bear. We think that the testing or temptation is enticement to do evil. That went out with the cross. The testing is always the temptation is always along the line of instead of at that moment emptying self. Gathering or taking. And it mostly will have to do internally with you. It'll be areas that you're naturally talented in or subjected in. As I said, I'm never going to be tested with giving up being a quarterback. Or I'm never going to be, whatever it is. But my point in all this, I'm not asking you to understand this moment because it can only be understood when it's experienced. You can't intellectually understand it before the moment. Can you accept that?
Yeah. Yeah, because it seems really paradoxical with so many other things, like faithful stewardship, doing something heartily as unto the Lord is.
That's your normal way. Faithful stewardship is empty.
Or giving.
There's like something in there about taking dominion over things. Or taking dominion over things means knowing that you basically don't have to do anything.
Taking dominion over things really means that there's nothing in time and space that has control over you.
But you can still play
with
stuff.
The promise of God is you can not only is that you can play on your high places. You can walk and rejoice and praise God in the high places.
So the only issue really is whether or not you're rapacious with everything.
Okay. Now my point, the reason I'm saying all this is that the only way that number one you'll ever know that moment, you'll ever come to that opportunity. And because the natural mind can't know the things of the spirit. So the mind must be renewed. And it's renewed by the operative word is yielding. In Greek it's peristemi or peristema. And it means to present completely. Present yourself the living sacrifice completely, and the only way I know to talk about that, and I know this may be strange words, but is to know that you've lost the right to yourself. You've lost the right to even think about yourself. That's what it means to present yourself the living sacrifice. And it's in the Greek, the word is it's in the tense that means a continual. It's not just a once, and it's something that's done continually. The presenting of yourself the living sacrifice. Now the only purpose of time and space is you'll be confronted with 1,000 stimuli to give you the opportunity to present yourself to the living sacrifice, or literally to take yourself off the altar.
Wild that you lose the right to yourself and the burden of yourself.
The biggest thing, the best news is you lose the burden of yourself.
Yeah. It's really pretty powerful.
And it's only then that you can know that you to go to battle with the mind talk.
Yeah.
But how do you present something that you don't have?
Well, that's the only thing you truly own is the right to yourself.
So I do.
And if you hold that right to yourself, you'll die. That's why I say if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. Predicate for prayer, I think, of what prayer is, okay?
I can identify with that, real bit, because it's a continual thing. Because it's especially if you have a lot of natural talents, and you find yourself confronted with a situation where you know, it don't take no effort. I mean, it really don't take a lot of effort for you to get out of a situation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you
refuse.
You refuse to do that because you see a bigger picture.
Right. You refuse to do it because that's why it lean not on your own arm of understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. But can you see that it's the opposite of what religion teaches us? I mean, this is the sad part. Religion teaches us how to present yourself and what you do with it, how you make the package better looking.
And it always conforms to the spirit of the age.
Right.
It's the value.
Yeah, the great example of this is in the Pentecostal Assembly of God holiness movements that were started at the turn of the century, they were all primarily white trash, poor white trash. And they preached self-denial, the service to others. I mean, it was really pretty neat. But what happened in the 60s, all of these holiness movements, these Pentecostal movements, were seduced by the charismatic movement. And the charismatic movement turned into the what's called the word faith movement, the name it and claim it. And so now we have all these, I mean, their families came from poor white trash. I'm serious, like the Janet Paul Crouches or the Bakers or Jimmy Swaggart.
Or, their image of heaven.
And their whole background in terms of children were this, they're growing up in poverty, no makeup, no dresses, long dresses, women could. And now, all of a sudden, they've been, and their theology has transformed to the spirit of the age. And now they're preaching greed in the name of God. But they've carried with them all the white trash baggage. And so you look at, you know, the sets of Channel 58 up here, or what, I mean, it's pancake makeup, it's big hair, it's garish whorehouse sets. But to them, to them, they're responding to this pattern that was set when they were kids, to their theology. The little cherub.
You look at that, their image of heaven is a French whorehouse.
Yeah. Well, that's not too far. That's not too bad. Look at Channel 58 tonight when you get home.
No, you
go to France.
No, it's French. Look at it. The Channel 58 sets, the TBN sets. 1950. Their image of
this is probably not how it's written about whatever you do, do it mightily unto the Lord.
Whatsoever you do in thought, word, and deed, do heartily as unto the Lord. How do you know whether you're doing it unto the Lord or not?
We're not the
outcome. Because you care what happens.
And if you don't get rewarded, you'll be pissed.
Don't you understand? To do it heartily is unto the Lord. If you have the predicate that means, well, doing it means I got to give my best for Jesus, I got to win, I got to do this. What you're going to do is you're really doing it, you're giving it heartily as unto the God of this age that knows nothing about the emptying of self, knows nothing about...
I guess I'm confused with how do you do that if you empty yourself? It seems like if you empty yourself, you don't do it.
If you empty yourself, you automatically do whatsoever you do in thought, word, and deed is unto the Lord.
I mean, consider empty, just like saying what's there. I mean, that could be an aspect of it.
Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the empty in spirit, for they shall see God.
Yeah,
that sounds more strong. I think the confusion is probably emptying is like it's just letting go. It's not throwing away. That makes some more.
Well, you don't erase your mind like a slave.
Well, still, if you let it go.
Well, let me give you a definition, okay? Another way of saying emptying self is dying to self.
Uh-oh.
Here we go.
Thanks, Sherry.
I've read that.
Oh, yeah.
And I hear it again.
Okay.
It doesn't matter.
At the bottom.
Again, this is the mind of Christ. When you are forgotten or neglected or purposely set at naught, and you don't sting and hurt with the insult or the oversight, but your heart is happy being counted worthy to suffer for Christ, that is emptying yourself. When your good is evil spoken of, your wishes crossed, your advice disregarded, your opinions ridiculed, and no anger rises in your heart, you don't defend yourself, but you take it in patient, loving silence, that is emptying yourself. When you lovingly and patiently bear any disorder, any irregularity, any impunctuality, any annoyance, When you stand face to face with waste, folly, extravagant, spiritual insensibility, and endure it as Jesus endured, that is dying to self. When you are content with any food, any money, any climate, any society, any clothing, any interruption, that is dying to self. When you never care to refer to yourself in conversation or to record your own words, when you are uncomfortable with commendations, when you can truly love to be unknown, that is dying to self. When you can honestly see, when you can see your brother prosper and have his needs met and can honestly rejoice with him in spirit and feel no envy nor question God, while your own needs are far greater and in desperate circumstances, that is dying to self. When you can receive correction and reproof from one of less stature than yourself and can humbly submit inwardly as well as outwardly, finding no rebellion or resentment rising up within your heart, that is dying to self. In these last days, the Spirit would bring us to the cross, that I may know him, being made conformable unto his death. It's not in the big things. I only use those big things that happened to me as because they're illustrative examples. But the whole of Philippians is about this, the mind of Christ.
What I've heard is that you say, something comes in your path, don't make the change.
Right.
That's, you know, Christ could have stopped all of the hunger by the snap of his fingers. We all know that's true, but he didn't do it. You say he emptied himself. So, what that transforms in my head is you have an opportunity to do something, but you just don't do it.
That has nothing to do with emptying yourself.
He emptied himself of this, of the power, not the compassion or the, you know. I mean, if you see somebody's need, it's not like you empty yourself of being able to fill it. You know what I mean?
Mm-mm. No, because to me that's the same thing.
Yeah, but Sherry, you're seeing through your own persona. Do you understand that?
I'm sure. Yes.
Okay,
but
so you hear even the emptying himself as something to do.
Yes.
You hear abandon yourself as something to do.
Well, what I, it seems to me that, or what I'm hearing, is that to abandon or to empty means that you don't do anything.
Well,
take any action at all, and if you take no action at all, then how do you do mightily unto the Lord?
Well, you've got this image of what that means. You've got image of what mightily unto the Lord means. You think it's some heroic action.
No, it means anything.
It's the white knight.
It's
hardly. How can you, like, physically not do something? I mean, it's, just,
right.
It's an impossibility, right?
Right.
So,
but
I mean,
that,
like,
that
it's
comes
an impossibility
in all
that you can't go and take a shit. It's just like, you know,
that
you
comes
gotta
in all
go.
Aspects
it's just
of life.
The, just half right.
So, what do you draw the line?
You
well,
don't draw any line.
You are drawing the line.
You don't draw any line.
Once again, it's the asking of the question reveals the position from which you're coming. I perceive that a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. It's the fact that I am aware and thinking and having a conversation and saying, aha, here's an opportunity to do good. By definition, that's evil is there.
You really
see,
can't explain
it's what you're talking about is not possible.
It can't be a dude, because even with Christ, I mean, at one instance, he was tested and could have, you know, cured hunger, and he didn't. But another time, another thing happened, and he had compassion on 5,000, and he fed them.
Right.
With the same power. So obviously, it isn't a do thing. It's a seeing thing. And it's a seeing what's up here.
It's a, and it's a being. I'm doing.
The thing that the component that you're missing in this is the promise. There's two things you're missing. One is that that he will it and do it in you. Now, but you have to hear that willing it and doing it in you, you may have to go through what Ezekiel did. Ezekiel was already a priest. He was already a muckety-muck, a huge muckety-muck in Israel when he had a vision of the Lord. And what happened? He had to debase himself down to the point of eating his own dung. I mean, if you ever hear any word I say as something to do, you've heard wrong. All that I can do is reveal to you the mystery from which you repent from. You can't do it, you can repent. And repenting isn't penitence. It's repentance without regret. And the act of emptying yourself is the act of repentance. But if you're still trying to do it, then you cannot repent. You may have to spend... I mean, remember, Paul didn't write a letter for 21 years.
And that's why all things won't work together for good.
Because you think... You think, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Or that I have to do something in order to do this emptying stuff. Or how do I do it heartily? It's how do I do instead of be.
It's almost like unless you're just surrendered and coming out to play, then everything's great.
I like that.
It's like
coming out to play.
Well, but it's not always.
You know, it's like if you're really thinking about it, bomb, 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 then.
Well, that's the sweet side, though. It's like, not always coming out to play.
I think.
Because
let's just have one conversation on at the same time.
It's just hard. It's on because the weight is on me. You know, it's like, if the weight's on me, if the weight's on Sherry, then the weight's not on God.
Right.
And that's really the only clue. If I've got to figure it out, then I already know I'm not leaving it up to God.
The common point in each of your questions is always, the common lack is that it doesn't provide for repentance. And so there's no, without the repentance, there's no emptying, and therefore with even emptying sounds like something to do. I mean, it's not common. You're not the only one. I mean, you just happen to be the only one that said it. But
yeah, I was starting to say that, you know, particularly at work when there's so much going on and people are calling and demanding and, you know, and all this stuff is going on, I feel like I wish I could just go in a hole somewhere so that there's no stimulus at all, and but I know that that's not a real world,
mm-hmm.
You know, so it occurs to me that the only reason why the stimulus bothers me or I want to run from it is because I have to whatever happens and not be afraid of being fired or not being afraid of pissing somebody off and not being afraid of, you know, or whatever other things are possible that I imagine is possible. You know, and there's a line there that I have drawn, and I'm scared to death to cross it.
Yeah.
You know, and I would so much so that I would rather be in a hole just to go and, you know, so that there's no stimulus at all. You know, which is, I mean, a great way to live. You know, plus I missed you guys.
What's so neat about that position, though. When things are happening so fast, you really don't have time to think about yourself at all. You're just handling. And it's a dangerous position to be in, but at that time you can see at least that aspect.
Yeah, I can just get so physically drained for that reason. Because, I mean, and I don't know if you've ever, any of you have been in the newsroom. I mean, there's just tons of people, tons of things going on, and it's no wonder why I'm just so exhausted, because I'm so concerned about
what my response is, you know.
Go cut hair all day.
Same thing. Because everything, but that's the...
That's the same kind of thing, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, we all have our own special...
But it's the, it's that's what God is using as his perfect honing device to mold you into what is, can be a value to him.
But while you were talking, I could see, I saw some things today that made me see, there was a witness in me as to, you know, seeing giving up something. You know, it's like there's a part of me that's waiting for something so I don't have to do body block. But that's not really what's happening. What's really happening is what you're talking about. You know, there's that giving away or that giving up.
Right.
That power. You know, so I there's a witness in me. In my world, more of my, who I
grew
with.
Yeah.
Can I see something in that when you said the emptying of self and not doing anything? This is a, well, if you had that you hired somebody or you're having somebody staying with you and you have the power to affect their life or devastate their life and you don't like particularly what they're doing or it really irritates you, you really want to do something and yet you do nothing. You just empty yourself. Doing nothing. Although you have the power to affect and devastate a person's life.
Well, I'm faced with that daily. I mean, I could, you know, every time one of you go on a trip, I could, you know what could happen.
It could happen.
But, most of the time there's a check and I do nothing.
And the same thing with what do you do when you see homeless people? There's nothing you can do. If you see a need, you address that need.
Yeah, you don't, and there's not even any rule for that.
But if emptying yourself is something where you think when you empty, then there's nothing else left. If you have that frame of mind, then you think to empty yourself, there's something has to be done.
Or that you'll be depleted. Yeah.
Because you can't picture emptying yourself meaning that there's something else going on.
Yeah, because what the real truth is that when you empty yourself, there's God. Do all things without murmurings and disputings.
There you go. That's what it is. It's murmuring and disputing.
Did you say that for ants, but it's a CG can?
I dispute that.
Private joke to Harry, because he's always disputing with somebody. Philippians 2. Starting chapter 1, verse 21. This is scripture that I quoted when I was baptized and I came out of the water and I didn't even know it was a scripture. It says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I know not. For I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you, all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that in your rejoicing may be more abundant, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ, for me, by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation or manner of life be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. Do you understand what that says?
I got lost on verse 28.
I figured. And in nothing dismayed, that's a better translation, by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token or sign of that you are going to hell, but to you of salvation and that of God.
The dismay,
the fact that you don't... But you're not dismayed. You don't care.
Oh, okay.
Okay? You got it?
Yeah.
For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. One of the least studied scriptures in the Bible.
My Bible has never had that verse. This is the only Bible.
We just added that.
Yeah, we added it while you were waiting.
And having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. What does he mean? Let's see if we can understand it. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, or compassion and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, be of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things. In other words, no. Don't try to protect your own things, is what to look means there in the metaphor. But every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now what does it mean to be robbery? It means something to be grasped. You understand that? What? It is. It is in King James, but it wasn't at that time. I mean, it thought it not something to be grasped to be equal to God or with God. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Now remember, the operative beginning of this was, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. The operative word is let. You can't try to get it, you let. Got it? I used to say the two most important words in the Bible were reckon and let. Reckon yourself crucified and let the Holy Spirit, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, and neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. And for the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know of your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, and not the things which are Jesus Christ's. This is the third time that, as far from his perspective, everybody has left him. Except here, Timothy. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministereth to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that you had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him only, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Now, we said I'll have to say this next few verses, this next chapter. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. You all know what that means?
Yeah.
You know what dogs mean?
Okay, a raven or
raven images.
Demons?
No. Dogs at this time was a metaphor for male prostitutes. But it was a spiritual statement of those that, you know, that sell themselves for anything. Beware of evil workers. Evil workers, again, is self-seeking, iniquity. Avon calling. And beware of the concision. There are some of you that really need to beware of the concision. The concision are those who feel they must have an attitude of cutting or hurting themselves as an act of redemption. You understand what I mean? That they have to feel bad, huh?
I guess if you want circumcision, makes sense too.
Well, it's the ones that, no, because it's
feeling guilty
or isolation.
No, it's the ones that feel that the sacrifice of Christ wasn't enough to give them joy. That they had to mope around and be in a certain way in order to have a certain attitude with a certain
supplication.
Right. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteous, which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ.
What does he mean there when he says win? What is that word? When you say?
It means win.
Oh, yeah.
Makes him sound like a lottery.
No, that there may be a full, the full expression of Christ.
Oh, okay.
I was kidding you. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. I never again need to be right, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith alone.
Excuse me. A couple of verses earlier, he said an amazing thing. He said that according to the law, touching the law, he was righteous. He was right. He was righteous. He was blameless.
Compared.
He had. He had that righteousness.
By his standards.
Right. He wasn't striving for that righteousness. He had that righteousness.
According to the law, blameless.
Yeah. I mean, he was right in that.
In his world.
He got it right.
And it
was
what he
got. It's not he tried it and couldn't make it.
No.
He tried it and did it.
No, there's an interesting story that I wanted to make a television show about Paul in the modern world. And one of the storyboards was this scene. The thing that caused him to give it all up, or to be able to see the revelation of Christ on the road to Damascus, was that he debated this ignorant Galilean that was without education. He was a fisherman, and he lost the debate, and he knew he lost it.
Is this true?
Yes.
Wow.
And as the one that was the representative of the Sanhedrin in the debate, he then had the right, because the one he lost the debate to was accused of blasphemy, he had the right to cast the first stone. But instead of casting the first stone, he held the coat of the one that was being stoned. And then he saw Stephen being stoned with the look of joy on his face, and looking up and see the heavens opened. And that troubled him so much, he was so destroyed by that scene that his own righteousness was meaningless. And then a few days later, he was sent on a mission out to Damascus, Syria, to destroy the Christians from the synagogue there. And then he had his road to Damascus experience. I spent the night, allegedly, in the very spot where Paul had that.
Were you allegedly spent the night?
He saw what Stephen was saying. Yeah. I mean, he won the debate in the words, but in the process, he saw what Stephen was saying, and he knew he lost.
Right.
And that's, is that why Stephen was smiling? Because he knew?
No, he knew because he was smiling because he saw God.
But he completed the way. And that completion is what allowed Paul.
But we don't know. Paul, he didn't have prescience. What am I?
Premonition.
No.
Prescience.
Yeah, he didn't know it, but he completed
it. Mr. Thesaurus.
And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. I mean, hear the power of that verse. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, but he knows that he cannot know the power of the resurrection unless he is in the fellowship of his suffering and made conformable unto his death. Do you hear that? There is no life but from death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, and not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting, and the word forget there is better translated neglect. Neglecting those things which are behind, anything, whether it's religious experience, whether it's anything, because there is no history in Israel. Neglecting those things which, have we done that in Bananas about the Hebrew concept of time? Neglecting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore as many as be perfect, and the word meaning perfect there is fully tested. It's not perfect like you think perfect means. It's the Greek word teleos means fully tested. If it meant perfect like I think perfect should mean, none of us would be here. Let us therefore, as many as be fully tested, be thus minded, and if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ.